What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Cross World Conversations, where we talk about what's going on in our world and what's happening out there in the others. Coming at you from Atlanta, Georgia, this is Joe.
This is Yates.
This is Sierra.
Today, we will be debating the topic of whether the Netflix hit Alice in Borderland is an isekai fantasy or not. For some context, this show is about a group of friends who mysteriously transported to an abandoned parallel universe Tokyo called the Borderland, where they must compete in deadly games to extend their survival.
Each game tests their strength, intellect, and morality as they fight to stay alive. Even though we are sponsored by Netflix, I'd recommend everyone go out and watch the show. As always, we're going to start off with talking about some of our favorite things going on Earth, and then we're going to transition into talking about Alice in Borderland.
As always, spoiler warning.
Hero, did you know that Yates doesn't have a Chick-fil-A Wednesday order?
No, that's actually crazy.
They don't got him in Oregon.
Bro, if you don't have a Chick-fil-A Wednesday, you're not living correctly.
Mm-hmm. My bad. What do you get?
I recently tried the Pretzel Club. What you know about the original Pretzel Cheddar Club? It's actually so good.
Honestly, every single Wednesday, I am getting the Chick-fil-A Deluxe Meal, three Chick-fil-A sauce, small mac and cheese, and that medium fry with a Diet Dr. Pepper. You can never go wrong with that combo.
Damn, I might have to try that.
Mm-hmm. And last time, on top of that, right, they forgot to give me a Chick-fil-A sauce.
I ordered three, but they gave me two. So I go in there, I tell them, yo, you forgot a Chick-fil-A sauce. Mm. Guess what they did? They gave me two. Four total, four Chick-fil-A sauce on a single day.
Incredible.
That's crazy.
See, that's the Chick-fil-A difference. You know, even if they do make a mistake, they just know that they're going to take a step above to make it right. And I really do appreciate about that company.
Exactly. And they're always so happy, too.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal company.
You know, after eating that Chick-fil-A, all I want to do is just sit down and watch some TV. What is your guys' picks right now?
I've been watching Free Run, just finished the first season. It's pretty good.
What's that about?
It's about this elven mage. It's an anime.
Very cool, very cool. You know, I'm a big basketball fan, you know, so I've been watching the New York Knicks. I was getting a little worried for the season because we started off 2-2, and those two losses were teams I don't think we should have lost to. But recently we've been getting our offensive footing back, and I've been getting, you know, pretty excited for the rest of the season. Hero, I know you're from Fishkill, New York, too, so, you know, how have you been following the Knicks? All right, whatever. Hero, what have you been watching recently?
Today, I finished Alice in Borderland Season 2. I'm about to get into Season 3. I'm so excited.
Oh, wow. Speaking of Alice in Borderland, let's talk about that.
All right, moving into the main section, we're going to have a debate on if Alice in Borderland classifies as an isekai fantasy. Joe's going to argue for, Hero's going to argue against, and I'm going to moderate. Let's start by defining isekai. The Oxford Dictionary defines isekai as the Japanese genre of science or fantasy fiction featuring a protagonist who is transported to or reincarnated in a strange or unfamiliar world. Isekai is a subgenre of portal fantasy. Even the word isekai is the Japanese word for different world, but adopts some tropes, like the main character often going between the worlds through death or near-death experiences. Additionally, the main character is usually trapped in the other world, instead of being able to travel freely, and it's not uncommon for the protagonist to make a new life in this parallel world. The most popular isekais are That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime and The Rising of the Shield Hero, although most of us would be more familiar with what many scholars consider to be the first isekai, Alice in Wonderland. So, with that said, how would you define isekai fantasy?
Well, based on what you just gave, it kind of proves that Alice in Wonderland is not an isekai fantasy, because as you just said, transported or reincarnated to a strange or unfamiliar world, the Borderlands is not transportation, more as it's a state of being.
Good point, Hero. Alas, that is the incorrect point. So, in a Journal of Anime and Manga Studies, Volume 2, by Dr. Paul S. Price, he defines isekai fantasies in terms of otherworld stories. So he says, otherworld stories include any story that involves a setting that is outside real or everyday world. Other worlds can be defined spatially, a different land or planet, temporally, a past or future age, or simply being different. And then in the next few paragraphs, he proceeds to say, while all speculative fiction can be considered to be other world stories, The term isekai is only applied to a subcategory of speculative fiction stories in manga, anime, and light novels. And he's pretty much just equating isekai fantasies into otherworldly stories. So, and I believe Alice in Borderland fits pretty directly into an otherworldly story.
Does Alice in Borderland qualify as an isekai if the characters never physically leave Tokyo? I mean, they don't even realize they're gone at first.
No, because the transport aspect is really important, and they're not at a fundamentally different world. In fact, the characters never physically leave Tokyo. And Christina Zerloth mentions that it's not a dream, but more of a threat simulation theory. And so specifically, it's Alice is in a coma-like dream world, or a liminal space between life and death. And so her entire thesis is that it's a psychological, dream-based remix of their real-world location, rather than a separate physical, magical world. And so it fills a core transport requirement of the isekai genre.
Hugh, I understand what you mean, that it's more of like a dream-like kind of transport, but, you know, think about in like the first season, the first like few episodes, like right after the Shibuya Scramble like bathroom scene, like the city goes silent, it's completely empty, and everything else is the same. Like as you said, you're still in Tokyo, but it's like it's really not even anything similar. Like, there's no parallels where you can even consider it not an isekai. It's like almost a completely like classic isekai move, even though they didn't like, you know, jump through some wardrobe or, you know, or a rabbit hole like Alice in Wonderland kind of style. But they definitely cross into a different world that's not the same Tokyo, even though they never really quote unquote left Tokyo. And they didn't even realize they left Tokyo at first, because that isekai shift is just completely seamless. And that's like something I feel like a lot of modern isekai writers do, is it's more of a subtle or even like digital transition rather than just like, you know, they didn't hop from Tokyo to New York or anything. They're still in Tokyo, but it's more of like a seamless transition. And just to add on to that, like the moment they enter the borderland, their jobs, families, obligations are just completely gone. They completely changed. These people are now like completely new entities in their new life, and they're governed completely by the new survival rules in this new world. And this kind of mirrors like a rebirth and reset that is in a lot of isekai series.
Okay, that was a tough question for Hiro. So let's ask one a little harder for Joe. Alice in Borderland has survival game mechanics with scientifically different world rules. Does this make Alice in Borderland more of a sci-fi rather than a real isekai?
Obviously, and despite what this wag joke
yo,
says,
bro, yo, wait. Well, I didn't
okay,
say
okay, anything. Calm down. Let's keep it simple.
My bad. But the mechanics of Alice in Borderland align it far more closely with psychological science fiction and survival horror than it an isekai. And so, in the journal Extrapolation Volume 66, it discusses two major appeals of isekai. The first being high-stakes adventure, which are classified as power fantasies, and slice-of-life isekai, which emphasize contentment and healing. And so Alice in Borderland fits neither category. Instead, it's a textbook example of threat simulation theory, as Zerloth mentions. And so the games are a psychological coping mechanism for Arisu to rehearse threat perception and deal with a traumatic event that is a meteor strike. Finally, Zerloth also repeatedly links Alice in Borderland to The Matrix, which is a definitive sci-fi text. The Borderland isn't presented as a fantasy kingdom, but more as a simulation or a computer-generated dream world. The Queen of Hearts even deceitfully explains it as a virtual reality simulation 1,000 years in the future. So this is exactly the language of sci-fi and psychological horror, not fantasy.
Hiro, you argued that Alice in Borderland fits no definition of isekai. What do you have to say about Curtis Liu's definition of outlier isekai, which includes major breaks from the genre? Isekai is like the strongest hero who wants revenge with the power of darkness, includes lots of bloodshed, and breaks from stereotypical isekai and assumptions of the genre, yet is often considered an isekai piece.
That's not isekai. This Curtis Liu guy is awesome. And that literally, you said it's an outlier isekai, and you just said it has major breaks from the genre. At that point, there's no boundaries as to what isekai can or cannot be. And so it's made up genre by this Liu guy, whoever he is, does not make sense.
All right, I understand. Joe, what do you have to say?
So I want to go back to the point of comparing Alice in Borderland to a sci-fi. What I notice a lot about sci-fis is that it's talking a lot about the science, the technology that is in that world. Think about like Back to the Future, the DeLorean, talk about the flying cars that they're going to see in 2015. Is that right, 2015? But what I noticed in Alice in Borderland is that it's not about how they got there. That's not even really discussed until the third season. It's more about what they're doing now that they're there, and also like the metaphysical experience. Like, think about like when Arisu is there, and he's playing the game where they have the collars on, and then Shota and Karabe, which are his two close friends, get exploded because those collars have bombs on them, and they're completely killed in these games. You're not necessarily focusing on the explosive power of these collars. You're more focused on like the fact that Arisu, who like grew up with these guys, and you know, in the first episode, he was shown to be like great friends with them through everything, and now they're dead, and he's practically all alone, you know, in this borderland. And you're not really focusing on the technology, you're focusing on that human aspect. And then just one more point, calling it sci-fi because it like looks like Tokyo and it's like kind of sciency is like calling Narnia a wildlife documentary on National Geographic because that's what I'm saying because like it has trees and like animals. It's you can't equate the two together because just because there's similarities doesn't mean it fits 100% into that genre.
Now taking a break from our regularly scheduled podcast, this section is sponsored by Visit Oregon and the J-Bots.
Whether you want to be drenched in rain or be drenched in rain, come to Oregon. You can participate in naked bike ride protests next to inflatable frogs dancing in Portland, or throw bricks through the windshields of Californian cars in Bend. If you're from Corvallis, like me, you get the opportunity to say OSU and then clarify you don't mean Ohio State or Oklahoma State every single time. How could a state whose biggest exports are saplings, grass seed, and hazelnuts not be the life of the party? Hike the Cascades and wonder if the waterfall at the end is all that special because it feels like you're under a waterfall every second in Oregon. Visit the beaches in Newport or Florence on any of the 2 days per year when it isn't cold, wet, and windy. Oregon, come for the views, stay because your Subaru broke down in the middle of a national park.
They aren't just building robots.
They're building a better future.
This season, the J-Bots are exploring artifacts,
designing,
programming,
and iterating on their incredible competition robot,
Hydra. But their impact goes far beyond the playing field.
The J-Bots are dedicated to impacting their community,
mentoring junior robotics teams,
and running workshops that teach skills from 3D printing and CAD to machine learning.
They even developed a chemistry app, ChemTools, that is now used by over 1,900 students in 80 countries.
This team of inspiring freshmen,
sophomores,
juniors,
and seniors is a true force for STEM.
We want to send a special shout out to Matthew Glasser,
Haley Kim,
Nate Mara,
Anthony Chen,
and Na Nguyen.
And an honorable mention to the Oregano's Sarah Young, Bethany Christensen, and Abe Sai.
The J-Bots rely on community support and corporate sponsors to fund their robot,
their extensive outreach programs,
and their journey to the World Championship. If you believe in inspiring the next generation of innovators,
leaders,
and problem solvers,
learn more and find out how you can support the Team 16700,
the J-Bots.
Okay, let's end it off with an open-ended question at the heart of the debate. How do Alice in Borderland's world rules compare to traditional isekai?
You know, we already talked about the spoiler alert, but just to bring it back again, this is another spoiler alert for the third season. Yeah, but at the start of the third season, the characters in the show actually get to the borderland, like in the stage between life and death, where their heart stops beating, but it's before they have fully passed away, so they've lost consciousness, but they still have a little bit left in the tank. And isekai is known for the trope of being transported into a new world after death. So, here, I really don't know what more you can want from my side, like, in terms of an argument, but I feel like this is pretty crystal clear, and it's, like, almost like a hands-down statement that definitively puts Alice in Borderland as an isekai fantasy. So, I would love to hear what you have in response to this. Like, I know ignorance is bliss and all, but I would love to hear what you have. I want to hear, like, what you have in response to my side, if you can really take that into account.
All right, Joe. Ignorance is not bliss. I don't know what you want about, but Alice in Borderland is not isekai. Isekai is typically escapism. This is not escapism. It's trauma processing and struggling to survive overwhelming survivor's guilt after the meteor strike. You're wrong, Joe. Let's hear from the audience.
If you're not listening on YouTube, come to YouTube and vote in the comments below on who you think won this debate.
Thank you all for listening, everyone. I hope your blood pressure is at a reasonable level after listening to this. Next episode, we'll talk about whether the topic of King Von's songs should be counted as urban fantasy.
Von! Yeah.